Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Clues? You know who's one of my favorite Dark Lords?
I think I do, but go ahead and tell me.
Dark Lord Vanderpump, you idiot.
I thought you were going to say that. No, I thought you were going to say it. I was right.
You predicted it. Another accurate Clues prediction.
Yes.
Lisa Vanderpump is one of my favorite Dark Lords, and she is part of a new show called Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, which premieres on Hulu.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
I think that Dark Lord Vanderpump has only improved upon her previous work, and she knows how to concoct excellent TV series.
Yes.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside. Ooh la la.
I can't wait to watch it. You can meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Everything that you expect from Vanderpump as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Guess what? Not everybody has what it takes. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Praise be Dark Lord Vanderpump.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and as you can see, we're in a studio. We have a very big interview that we are about to let you guys listen to and watch. So we rented a studio for it because it was just monumental for us. This is really leveling up of our game. We hope you guys like it.
And we still have Welcome to the Pit merch available at Etsy.com/Game of Roses. It'll be going away soon, maybe in 2-ish weeks.
Something like that.
So get that while you can.
But this is a Welcome to the Pit with somebody that we think you're going to love. So enjoy.
Welcome to the Pit.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
I'm Bachelor Clues, and we're obviously joined here today with a very special guest. We are honored. We are humbled to have with us an icon of the professional era, somebody who redefined the villain and professional archetypes, and one of the best colorful narrators to ever touch driveway and sand. She placed 9th on one of our favorite Bachelor seasons, season 24. That was Peter Popeye Weber, a multi-hyphenate founder, entrepreneur, realtor. Please welcome to the Pit, Tammy K. Lai.
It's Lee, but that's okay.
Sorry, Tammy K. Lee.
Shit, off to a bad start.
That's okay. That's honestly a simple mistake. I always say I never lie, so it's Lee, but it's spelled lie. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But well, hi, guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is so exciting. I'm very excited to be here.
Tammy, welcome. We were just talking about how this is our first ever in-person interview. And
yeah.
I feel like there's no one better.
I'm honored.
As are we.
Tammy, you have 128,000 Instagram followers. Do you know where that puts you on the all-time leaderboard?
Probably low. Low of the totem pole.
Actually, no, you are number 145. That's out of 1,000.
Okay, not bad.
That is right between Bachelor season 13, Jason Mesnick, a bachelor, and the ring winner of Bachelorette season 1, Ryan Sutter.
This is before I was born, guys. Okay. Like,
damn.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll take Sutter's the win where roasted. I can, though. I'll take it. Burn. What is it? 140?
145.
145, yeah, baby. That's that right. You heard it here first.
Hey, so, there's still time to climb. You just got to take down Mesny.
Yeah. So we obviously know that you went through season 24. You went through Bachelor in Paradise season 7. We're going to get to all of that. But before we do, I'm curious to know, and we ask everybody who comes into the pit with us these kind of questions. When you grew up, what kind of TV were you watching? Were you into reality TV?
Not at all. I think the only reality TV I grew up watching was Jersey Shore. And that chaos itself is a masterpiece.
I agree.
But I watched cartoons. I love SpongeBob.
Okay. So SpongeBob was the basis for why you wanted to come into The Bachelor somehow.
It's so funny how I got into it because I feel like it's very untraditional. So I got nominated. I didn't go to a casting call or anything.
Nominated by who?
I was nominated by one of my coworkers who actually just passed away this past month. May she rest in peace.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We were joking around one day at the office when I worked at Allstate. She's like, you know what you'd be great for? The Bachelor. And I'm like, nobody goes on that show. Like, that's a real person. And like... Sadly mistaken. But I know when I was bartending, even the girls were obsessed with the season. It was Sean Lowe's season at the time. And I'm like, you guys are so dumb. Like, this stuff isn't real. And here we are. It foreshadowed my life. And I guess I decided to take a leap and just do it.
But wait, even at that time, your coworkers are telling you, you got to go in the show. And you're like, it's not real. You knew that going in.
Well, I did my research. So I try to figure out how everything works. When I first heard about it, when I got the first phone call, I watched, I think, 4 seasons of Bachelor, 2 seasons of The Bachelorette. I did all extensive research on everybody who was on the show. I watched clips of it on YouTube, interviews that people did, like everything.
Dang.
So you went in pretty prepared then. You really did try to come up with strategies and figure out like what you were going to be up against, what you might expect.
Yeah, I think I just was trying to get like, what am I getting myself into, you know, what should I expect? I didn't know if I came in it with a game plan or not. I think subconsciously I probably did. But I just thought overall it'd be a really cool experience. And I want to try to find love, even though my real life dating life sucks. So I'm like, that's probably why I'm like, you know what? Might as well. I can't get worse than this.
And then you go into the show.
And then I go on the show.
Let me ask you this real quick. Was there anything in that research you were doing, any moment, any piece of video you saw where you're like, oh shit, this could be hard. This could be bad. Was there anything that like surprised you?
I never thought I was going to be the quote unquote villain.
I don't think anyone
I don't think anyone ever goes into it thinking that. But I just remember like, it really put it a different perspective because I'm like, these people are terrible people. That's why they're the villain. But that's not the case whatsoever, you know, because a lot of editing is involved. And, you know.
As Grocery Store Joe famously said, it depends on who you wind up being.
That's right.
Which means that's up to the producers, basically. They can make anybody look like anything.
Yeah, unfortunately.
When you were doing that research, were there hero players that you looked up to where you're like, I think I could be sort of that style?
I tried to pin out like personalities that I was similar to. Demi was a good personality. Who else? Oh gosh, I feel like Demi was the only one that was like standing out to me. But Christina Schulman also, like, she was very a neutral character. But I'm like, my personality, I'm never gonna be neutral. Like, I'm too alpha female to be a neutral character. So I don't know. I did a lot of research, found out that a lot of the favorable casts are white. And I'm like, okay, I can't become white. That's impossible, unfortunately. So I'm going to just be myself and be the best person that I can be and just try to just go for it. You know, I am not a secondary character. I'm a primary character. And that I feel like that would show. So I was not nervous at all the first night. All these girls are frantic. It's a long day. It's like one of the longest filming days. And I'm just chilling. Just drinking my Red Bull and my champagne glass. Like, I'm not freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to talk to him. I already know what I'm going to say. I have no problem, like, hitting on guys. I'd rather hit on guys than them hit on me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got this, you know? My biggest fear the first night was going home the first night.
Of course.
That was, once I hopped over that fence, I mean, no pun intended. then everything else was just, I took it day by day.
So you said you were drinking Red Bull out of a champagne glass. Did you go in telling yourself I'm not going to drink?
I don't really drink to begin with. Yeah.
Great.
I had all my partying days when I was younger at an illegal age of 14 to 19.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, I'm tired. I'm old now.
I'm tired. Just Red Bull.
Yeah, just Red Bull at 4 a.m. Yeah. to get through the most torturous night of my life. That night, by the way, had one of the craziest, what we call a night one curveball in the history of the game.
Oh.
They bring in Hannah Brown. Yes. The new bachelorette. Last season, she was, you know, with your bachelor, Pilot Pete, famously in the windmill, all of that kind of stuff. What went on? You're saying you're chill, you're cool, you're playing it, you know, by the numbers. But when she walks in on night one, what is your reaction and what's everybody else's reaction? And are you guys aware of the fact that this is the producers fucking with you?
I think that's the first instance where I'm like, okay, I don't have a lot of control here. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, the producers probably have the most control. What can I do from here? I didn't freak out that she was here. I actually didn't care if she did join us.
Yeah.
But I just came back to everyone because they told us, be like, give us a reaction. I don't know if I can say that. But
so they've kind of forced you guys to be like, oh my God, like, Hannah, what do you Brown, think? I can't believe it.
They're like, what do you think? And I'm like, oh my God, she's here. That's why, like, the one time that I was in Times Square on a billboard, it was a clip of me that just says, Maddie goes, is this legal? I go, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is legal. I don't know what's going on.
This is illegal. I love that. They showed that clip in Times Square.
Yeah.
That's a cool experience,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that was one of my bucket list things was to be in Times Square.
On the big Jumbotron.
Yep.
And so do you have a picture of that somewhere in your home?
I don't. It was a follower sent it to me. I have it probably in my archives of stories somewhere. I should get it framed, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Not a lot of people have that experience, I think.
So after they've brought Hannah Brown in, you have week one and you're on the flight school obstacle course. Where you go down in history as having this play for time stolen from you by Kelly Flanagan, who cheats to win the final leg of the course, a tricycle race. Did you talk to producers about it, the unfairness of it?
I think at this point I was realizing what was going on. Uh-huh. Again, the lack of power that I did have in real time. And I'm like, she cheated. And they're like, okay, well, what do you think about that? Like on interview, of course, in my ITMs. I go, I have no room to stand on here. Like they could have made it happen. They didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like me
totally
winning fair and square.
Yeah.
I should have just shoved her off the freaking tricycle is what I should have done.
Anything goes apparently, right? Like they let her do that and then there she gets to go on the plane.
That's the night that I realized there are no rules.
Right. That group date, specifically Kelly Flanagan winning the play for time by cheating, proved that. Mm-hmm. That really is where I remember when we were watching it, we're like, oh, it doesn't fucking matter. You can do anything.
I thought it was an amazing play by Kelly.
Absolutely. I mean, it turns out to be an amazing play.
What you guys didn't see, what you didn't see is that I actually got off on the bike because I'm like, she's cheating. That's all you saw. I get off on my bike. I run through the finish line. I hop in the plane myself.
What?
I go, I'm sitting here. You can't get me out of it. They're like, no, you have to get out. I'm like, fine. So I embarrassedly like
cut. That is
incredible. That's one of the best places I've ever
been. You literally did everything you could.
No, I really did everything that I could.
That's unbelievable.
Hopped on this flight. I skipped all the stairs that were there. I literally think I hopped on the wing and then hopped in the flight. I'm like, I'm not moving.
Yeah, I won. Now what?
Yeah.
Good for you.
You can cheat on the tricycle. I'm going to cheat running through the rest of the obstacle course and just take the fucking seat. That's amazing. And then they pull you out of it. So they had plans for Kelly Flanagan to go up in that plane, period. And there's no way to get around it.
No.
That's how orchestrated all of this was.
Yeah.
Did anybody else question it? Did you have conversations with any of the other players about how the producers were rigging this whole thing?
No, I don't think any of us knew that they were like, I mean, I think I knew in my subconscious that they were quote unquote rigging it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone else is just upset that they didn't even make it to the final three to hop on the tricycle.
Right.
I remember Shein, she was the third person and she couldn't get the pants over her butt. She's got a big juicy butt and she couldn't get it over her butt and she was so frustrated. And then it was biased
against her, the pant size.
Yeah.
Damn.
The producers probably did that.
Probably.
They gave her a size too small pants specifically.
Just to get these on, Shein. You want screen time?
Also that week, something happens called Champagne Gate.
Oh.
It is one of the...
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most memorable things from that season, at least the early regular season. When it's going down, you obviously are talking to the other players. The two players that are involved in that are Kelsey Weir and Hannah Ann Sluss. Were you talking to either one of them about it? And were they aware of the fact that this is, again, the producers setting this up to get them feeling some type of way? Anxious, nervous, angry, whatever.
That was one of the first bigger instances of like quote unquote drama in the house. Mm. I started to get my wheels turning. I'm like, this is not a mistake. But they made everyone seem like, oh, it was just a mistake. Because I get it. It's an easy mistake. They cover the labels on all the bottles. Mm-hmm. So how would you know from a Dom bottle to just a PJ bottle, you know? But I remember sitting there and we were like having these girl chats that they make us do. And then we hear a pop. And then Kelsey, this is why I'm comforting Kelsey. She's like freaking out. She goes over there. She's crying. I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. She told me on night one how much this bottle meant to her that she brought from home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my God, like that Hannah Ann's going to be the villain. You know, I'm like, I in my journal every day, I was like trying to pin out who was important, like who was the main Ooh. Characters of this current time. And Brilliant. who was the early, what is it?
Front runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you were accurate?
Absolutely.
You knew from night one what the hierarchy was.
Yeah.
And how did you determine that? What were the things you saw that made you think, oh, ooh. Hannah Ann Sluss, Madison Pruitt, yeah. these are real players?
Victoria, I didn't know that she was going to make it that far. I definitely called out Hannah Ann and Maddie that they were going to be front runners in my journal. But on night one, you can just see who the producers were gravitating towards to help them push.
Protected certain, players.
Yeah, protect the players. So I was trying to find my producer. I'm flipping out. And you know, when I have my mindset on something, I'm going to go out and get it. I literally ran around this house in my heavy dress that was too long for me, in my 20-inch stripper heels. I'm like, where's my producer? Like, where is he? I need to get my thing done. Like, I want everything set up. I go like beeline towards Peter because I see him get up from a conversation. They're like, no. Like, it's not your time. I go,
what?
Not my time. And that's when I knew. I'm like, okay.
So they're orchestrating who gets to go talk to the lead on night one and probably on group dates and cocktail parties and after parties. And
more people, the favorited ones get more time for sure.
And they get told when to interrupt as well, I think. Like definitely
we tell them when we want to talk to them or talk to the lead and they'll be like, okay, like just give us a few minutes. Let's find a way out of this conversation. Then you can hop in.
So the steals aren't orchestrated by the producers.
They're helped. Mm-hmm. Everyone does want to steal. That's the only way you can get time.
Right.
You know?
Especially on night one with 30 players trying to get in there and get their time. Damn, that's crazy. So they basically, night one, you could tell because they were protecting Madison Pruitt, Hannah Sluss, that they were going to go far. Or at least the producers had orchestrated that. Obviously, the ultimate power still lies with the lead. The Bachelor can kick anyone off at any time.
Yep.
But the producers can certainly help players along in that path. That's funny that you mentioned Victoria Fuller, that you didn't think she'd go far.
No.
I don't think anybody thought that.
No, but I'm actually happy that she did. I remember meeting her the first night and she was my roommate for the first group date. You know, so we got to change afterwards and we get put in this hotel and we just eat our food and get dressed for the night portion. And I'm like, she's so shy, like so reserved, so quiet. She's beautiful. I'm like, it'd be a shame if she got sent home earlier. Like, she thought she was going to get sent home the next rose ceremony.
Yeah.
And then didn't.
God, she had such an interesting game. Her strategy that whole season was just fascinating to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally. We'd never really seen anything quite like it.
She's still so fascinating. I'm like, I'm in awe of you. Like, everything you do is so fascinating.
Week two, you get the forced violence group date when your hero player, Demi Burnett, shows up with two pillow fighters. And you were delivered these bags with underwear that you have to wear for Demi's Extreme Pillow Fight Club. Fred Willard and Chris Harrison judge the event.
the lingerie, or what did Kiara say?
The lingerie.
Lingerie.
Yes. Yeah.
How does it feel to have to do a forced violence group date in lingerie?
Oh, I'm all for it. I love contact sports. I was a wrestler on a boys' team in high school. I'm like, you guys are about to go down. I don't care if I weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah, I remember definitely making a meme out of a shot that they used in the show of you kind of like screaming and going like this. And I was like, all right, she's game. She's into this. But not all players are. Were there any players that day who were like, this is bullshit, I don't want to do this?
Oh, yeah.
What happens to those players? Do producers try to convince them to come back?
That early on, you are not going to say no, you know, because you want to continue the game, I guess.
Right.
So everyone's always for doing the dates that they might not be all for, but I think they go gentler, and that's when hopefully they get sympathy points.
Yeah. When you see Demi Burnett come in like that and she's now going to host a group date, are any of the players, yourself included, thinking about or talking about the fact that, like, oh, maybe next season that could be me? Maybe they bring me back to host a group date or something.
I don't think anyone was thinking that at the time. I definitely thought about it afterwards. I'm like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know Demi, you know? And I didn't know how she got on or why she came back. You know, did she ask? I have no idea about all those things. I kind of was just like living in that moment.
Right.
She came in guns a-blazing.
Yes.
That clip of me pulling the feathers out of my hair, and I'm like...
I love when they do the, what do we call it? The home invasion.
Oh, I thought it was so fun. Up. Yeah.
And then you then in the next week get to go to Cleveland.
Yay. What the heck?
We literally in our show call it the I Love Cleveland when they force all the players to like act excited about meeting a celebrity.
You know what they actually told us first?
Please.
We were going to Hawaii and we got so excited. I think that was the clip that was shown.
You've got to be shitting
me. We're actually going to Ohio. And I'm like, where the hell's Ohio?
So they told you were going to be going to Hawaii, got the shots of you being super excited, and then told you the real truth?
Yeah, I don't know if they did both. I mean, it was just a screw with us anyways because it's funny. They're like, look how excited they are to go to Hawaii.
But, like, that's so sad.
You ultimately get to Cleveland. And they have you out in front of the big city sign, welcome to Cleveland. And they have you going in the hotel. And it's like, it's a fine hotel or whatever, but it's Cleveland. What are they telling you to do in those moments where it's like, act excited, jump on the bed, jump in this bathtub? Like, are they really directing you that tightly? Or are they just saying, be as excited as possible?
Yeah, they just go in. They're like, have fun, guys. Like, we're going to get some B-roll clips of you guys just seeing this place for the first time. And we just go at it. I mean, I think it's like, everyone is familiar with the show at this point. You're like, okay, it's excited to be at a different place that's outside the Bachelor Mansion.
Yeah.
So.
Is there any sense of like, we made it to the travel round?
Yeah, actually that too.
Yeah.
Travel days are actually my favorite because everyone was so unguarded because we didn't have cameras around. Those are our blackout days. But it was fun just to like travel with them and the lies that we would tell, like the clerk at the little corner store. Like, it's a bachelorette party, or we're a cheerleading squad. They're like, who's getting married? They're like, this girl. She goes, yeah, so excited.
Yeah.
That's really cute. Wait, so they don't have any cameras on you traveling?
No.
And you're all together?
Yeah.
Separated from Peter?
Yeah, we're separated from Peter. I think Peter flies in first. And then, like, for a day before, probably first class, too. And then we get coached.
He flew the plane.
Yeah, he flew, actually, the plane itself to Ohio.
When you guys are traveling around, do people ever recognize you? Or
recognize the girls that were released early. So Hannah Ann was one of them.
Okay.
I think Lexi was, because she was the only redhead. So I think that was, because it was in a magazine we found at one of the airport stores.
Right.
And we were looking through the magazines where they let us, like, go buy, like, peanuts or whatever we wanted. And we would like look out to see if like a producer's coming. We're like, we gotta put it away because we're not allowed to look at the media.
Yeah.
Any outside like.
That's standard cult tactics.
Yeah.
Cut everyone off from the outside world. No information, no contact with family or
no
friends.
No sense of time.
Yes.
No TV, no phones. In Ohio, actually, I snuck into, they probably don't know this. I snuck into an audio guy's room and I used the phone to call my dad. Yeah. I wasn't trying to find any information. My dad wouldn't know anyways, but I had a real estate sale that was going on while I left and I wanted to see what the status was. So I called him.
Dang. Yeah. That's how you have 50 jobs. That's,
yeah, you know? For real.
Always working when I'm filming.
Yeah.
You wind up that week on another forced violence group date. This is the tackle football date.
Oh, yes.
You, I assume, were ready for this. Oh, you were like, bring it on.
We had like these little training circuits they made us do. I'm like, I'm about to tackle you guys to the ground.
Yeah. And were there any other players who were like, again, they don't want to do this, but felt compelled to by producers?
No. I think Victoria P.
She protested.
Yeah.
She played IFI.
Yeah.
Injury fear illness play.
I should have done that. She did it twice. Remember that little circle thingy?
Well, they were linked as well. She said that thing hurt her back, so she then couldn't play football. And so she got time on the sidelines with Pilot Pete, and he came over and rubbed her back. We strongly encouraged to play an IFI on any force violence.
I should have been like,
date.
I broke my leg or I have explosive diarrhea. You want to come help me? That would have been
we have not okay. seen an explosive yeah. diarrhea one.
We yet. Have not seen that no. yet. As an-
we had Mad Tad perhaps having a shit situation yeah. on Paradise.
Pat me on the back, help me poop. I mean, cute.
Yeah.
What intimate time.
Absolutely. On national television, no less.
Oh. Week 4, you wind up on another group date in Costa Rica. This is the bikini photo shoot.
Oh, the bikini photo shoot. Oh, so fun. That actually was one of the highlights of my time traveling. Costa Rica was absolutely stunning. We flew in so late. It was 4 hours from the airport. So we had to drive on our little party bus there. And we were so exhausted from traveling. We didn't get to see anything because it was all dark. Mm. And I just beelined it to the master bedroom. And I got it with Shein. And I woke up the next morning at like 4 a.m. because like that's when the sun was rising. I saw this beautiful mountain. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, this is not my life right now. I'm like, this. And nothing felt like it was like really Hollywood-y until that point. Mm. And I'm like, wow, I am so blessed to be here. But yeah, the Costa Rica, we went hiking to a waterfall. Mm. And Cosmopolitan was there. That's where I met one of my actually really good friends, Sam. Sam actually worked for Cosmo at the time. And now she's like one of my best friends.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Does That's she have amazing. Any stories about how the producers treated them, Cosmopolitan, while they were there?
I don't know. I should ask her. She was actually... Yeah.
I'm always curious about that. Like when they bring
She was actually supposed to be on one of the seasons.
Oh. Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Because I'm like, you should do it. Like, you don't work for Cosmo anymore. Like, I think you should just do it. I helped her through that. And then she didn't end up getting picked. This is for Clayton season.
So you coached?
Yeah.
I think they asked for my opinion. And I'm like, yeah, Sam's one of my great friends. Like, I hopped on the call with them.
Right.
But ultimately.
How common do you think that is that, like, ex-players will either coach new players or even, like, talk to the producers on their behalf?
Well, look at, I mean, they always ask us, do you have any friends that would like to be on the show? You know?
Right.
Hannah Ann was a import from...
Hannah Godwin.
Hannah Godwin, yeah.
Did you know that Hannah Godwin had coached her when she was on, when you were on the season together?
No. I think she did tell us that she was friends with Hannah, who was on the previous season. Mm-hmm. But nothing about, that was the extent of it, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it happens pretty constantly. That was Tia and Raven
yes,
were that.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, I think there's always like somebody, even Gabby
Clay
Wendy.
And Andrew Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gabby Wendy has dated, I think, both Bela Kai,
yeah.
sorry, Blake Horseman, and Deanie Baby Zungler, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
So there's all these connections.
You know what's funny? Like, if you think about it, those people that were coached make it far.
Yeah.
Exactly. Coaching works. I'm Dang. Just saying.
Coaching works.
But at Bachelor Clues.
Yeah. On that group date, Victoria Fuller obviously won the Cosmo Prize that date because she kind of made out with Peter in front of everybody. You guys were all forced
to
watch.
We all made out with him. That's the thing you didn't see.
That's what I was going to ask.
I knew it.
Wait,
I
you want to know?
It.
Oh my God. Yes. There's so many stories. Okay.
Please tell us.
When it was our turn, by the way, Victoria Fuller in a bathing suit, literally I had such a girl crush. I'm like, she's literally stunning. Her ass is perfectly sculpted. I go, of course she's going to win. Why not? Look at her. She's hot as fuck. Can I? Oh, I swore.
That's quite all right.
But it was me, Hannah Ann, and McKenna that were in this tri group with the snake. And he obviously is making out with Hannah Ann. And then McKenna goes in for it. I'm like, I feel like I'm in a freaking orgy right now, but I've got to go for it. I'm like, I'm going to make out with you next. Mm-hmm. So then we all three of us, I'm like, this is the grossest thing I think I've ever gone through. Because literally one after another, we're just making out with him.
With a snake.
Yeah, and we're standing on a rock.
Been to Burning
we're
Man.
Standing on a rock.
Jesus.
And it's
Christ.
Just like I'm literally touching McKenna as I'm making out with Peter. And I'm like, this is so weird.
So they have full footage of everybody making out with him and they just cut it to give it to Victoria Fuller.
Yeah.
Well, yeah
she went for it.
That's normal though, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because why would they put in everything? We filmed 24/7. There's no way they could give
right.
us all time.
But they made it seem like, I mean, what we were presented in the document is that Victoria Fuller was the only one who made out with him. And that's why she won the event. Mm-hmm. But now we know that's not the case.
Yeah.
That's pretty fascinating, in my humble opinion.
Week 5, you travel to Santiago, Chile.
Oh, the
and
worst.
You are
best place in the world.
You're like, you're waking up in Costa Rica, you're so blessed. Now you're in Chile.
Now I'm like, this is my actual hell.
You are pitted against McKenna Dorn in a rivalry for the ages. And wind up on this two-on-one where you and McKenna are on a couch together. She calls you nothing, and you utter one of the most iconic lines in the history of the game. I am everything.
I have really good one-liners, I will say. I don't know where I pull them out from.
Absolutely do.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I am everything is like...
You know why? Because she kept just going on. I'm like, I'm not listening to you. You're so freaking annoying, dude.
Yeah.
Like, stop breathing. But she just kept going on and on. I just didn't want to hear it anymore. So I just said the opposite of what she was saying. And that's what made it was like, she goes, you are nothing. I go, I'm everything. And I'm like, okay, this sounds really bad. But I'm like, I was just literally contradicting everything that she was saying. Because she's like, you're a liar. I go, I'm a truther.
The way they
just
cut
to piss
it,
her off.
It was so fucking perfect. There's like a little pause. She's like, you are nothing to me. And you go, I'm everything.
My face.
It was just so
there's
great.
There's a GIF, a meme about it. And I'm like, I'm everything.
I'm
and then
everything.
There's memes and they're
it's
putting
so
my face on a bagel. And I'm like, I'm an everything bagel. I go, okay.
Yeah.
That's
like
hilarious.
It was fantastic. I mean, this is like what we always encourage players to do is to have these one-liners in these moments that can be turned into memes and GIFs.
Okay. But I hate that because McKenna the entire time was always trying to be a meme. She thought she was quirky and cute. And I'm like, you're annoying, dude.
She had that
you
face
did
play, though.
Accuse her of coming up with hashtags beforehand.
No, she did. Like, even in Ohio, this poor guy, the cameraman's just trying to get B-roll of the stadium, you know? And she just stands in front of him, just starts dancing like a buffoon. And that's when I said that other, what did I say? I said, all she does is do dances.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone like made fun of me for going on TikTok when during the COVID. They're like, who's doing funny dances now? I'm like, this is TikTok. Like, this is not the same thing. But she
I like that people remembered that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't dance,
No, but
Tammy.
Also, thank you for recognizing they're not the same thing. That is proof positive that the main game is different from social media.
100%. It's part of the game. It's all part of the game.
Thank you.
No,
I'll take that victory.
Being in the field of the game is way more heightened. And because a lot more things are unforgivable in that than it is in the real world, you know?
Totally. Because if you piss the producers off, if what we call the third audience, if you go against them, you're just fucking done, period.
Mm-hmm.
They can execute you in any way imaginable.
Yeah. If you're not willing to play along.
Yeah. And for you, that execution came in the form of this two-on-one. Did you, when you're in the game, can you recognize signs that start to happen that lead you to believe, shit, I might be getting a villain edit, or shit, I might be going into a rivalry, or there might even be a two-on-one coming?
Yeah. I didn't know about the two-on-one, but the first instance was Kelsey.
Mm.
Yeah. That it was started in Ohio, and it really blew up in Costa Rica.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I'm going to look terrible. Like, this is why when they asked who said it, I literally sat there and said nothing, because I'm like, I have no idea how to navigate this right now.
Yes.
Like, if I admit it, then I'm gonna look terrible, and if I don't admit it, I'm gonna look even worse. But the easier thing right now is just to not say anything.
That's the right play, by the way. That is the correct play. Yes.
Oh my god,
you never fucking come clean, never,
because you know why?
Prove it.
When we all got into that argument right before the rose ceremony, when Sydney was like yelling at me,
mm-hmm.
She goes, did you or did you not say it? And she just kept saying it and saying it. I go, I just said yes, just to shut her up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I should have just not said anything. But I'm like, I'm so frustrated right now. I don't like anything that's going on right now. I'm just going to be like, let's just freaking end it. Yeah, sure. Whatever you want me to, you thought that I said, sure, I did say it. And that's when it drove me into this villain edit in the real world too, where everyone thinks I'm this terrible person because they're like, you called Kelsey an alcoholic and a pill popper, which I did not.
Right.
Okay. But I'm just the loudest motherfucker in the room. So it looks like I just made all this up by myself. Because this was a concern throughout the entire house.
Huh.
That she was very emotional and, you know, drinking her emotions away, you know, which isn't normal. Yeah. It's a very stressful situation.
Absolutely.
But Victoria P is the one that brought up the medication issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Victoria
and she got
P was really, she was very good at dropping little bombs throughout the season.
But
and
that's
then
how
just,
you know they
disappears.
Play favorites too, because they know that she dropped this bomb.
Totally.
I took the blame for it and she didn't even have any recourse.
Yes. And I mean, that's
whatsoever.
Part of the hypocrisy of the game is that, you know, the lead is, I think, like per their design, kept away from the truth of many of these situations.
Right.
And they have it on tape. They could very easily just be like, no, here's what happened. Let us show you. And they never do that because it causes more drama.
You know what's funny? Before coming here, I was on a podcast with Peter and Dustin. And like we went through and hashed out everything that happened because we haven't talked since he sent me home and showed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was actually really good.
That's great.
Yeah, so we're
really
good
nice.
Now.
Yeah, Peter's great. But you wind up on this two-on-one. What is it like for a player when you hear your name called on a two-on-one date? And what do you start to do psychologically to prepare for that?
I was so mentally exhausted at this point because we all got sat in the living room. We got the date card. That's why I don't even think my reaction was filmed or aired, because they saw McKenna like giving her last piece of words and like the truth comes out. And I'm like, whatever. I mean, it is what it is, you know? Yeah. I really thought, I did not go into that night thinking that I was going home. There was no way.
Mm-hmm. When you get the card, is there any part of you that thinks it's Peter's decision to put you on the two-on-one?
No. At this point, I think we all knew. They were like, yeah, whoever has beef is going to get a two-on-one.
You know? So you guys all know, like, the producers are choosing who goes on the group dates and on the one-on-ones and who's getting group date roses and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. In the first couple group dates, I'm like, oh, he really likes me, so that's why he wanted me to go on this date. Lies.
Right. Of course.
Big fat lies.
But, like, do you guys even know that, like, let's say first impression rose, for example, that is something the producers very heavily have a hand in?
Do they?
Yeah. Or at least that's what we've been told from various parties from various seasons. I'm not sure that that's accurate for every season.
Yeah.
But certainly in some seasons, the leads don't get to pick who gets that first impression rose.
Really? I feel like you would, because this person would most likely have to go further than most. So like they would have to like them some bit, right?
Well, I mean, we've run the numbers and first impression roses are not as important statistically as the first, what we call the first flower, which is the first rose given in the night one rose ceremony.
You think so?
We know so.
Oh.
That's actually statistically a better rose to get that determines how long you last in the game.
From the order no that wonder I was always lost. Well, they often give the last flower to whoever is involved in the drama. It's not a good sign. But we also know that they have aired the first flower out of order, like in Clayton season.
Yeah.
They made it look like it went to...
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. Serene, I think.
Serene, but it actually went to Susie.
So we believe.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
And you are finally sent home on this two-on-one. But you are not done. You have the woman tell all.
Oh,
you come back. You're asked to discuss your various rivalries. And Rachel Lindsay takes the stage to do this forced anti-bullying speech, read some of the messages various women have gotten, and it's mostly players of color. And did you notice that Rachel Lindsay never used the word racism during this bullying segment?
I didn't notice that. You know what's funny is because I got it probably the hardest out of everyone. People were attacking me left and right. And I normally don't care what people think, but this magnitude and volume that it was coming at, I had to take a day off from work. And I was just crying my eyes out.
Jesus.
Like, it was so brutal. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And when they were asking me, like, to send the text message or the messages, like, they didn't even air any of my messages that I was being sent on Rachel Lindsay's little bit of it. I'm like, again, I'm not a favorite, so I'm not as important.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to air the ones just to humanize certain people.
Right. So, like, yes, they helped, but, like, did it really do anything? No.
Did they alert you at all? I mean, if they're asking you to send in the DMs that you're getting.
They did not tell me that Rachel Lindsay was coming out to do this whole thing.
They just said, send us your worst DMs?
They're like, just like, let me see what it's like. Like, send me them. Like, you know that this isn't true. Like, a lot of them were very comforting because it's hard to go through.
Yeah.
But none of it was actually legitimately helpful now that I'm looking back at it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is why they have like a therapist that has to come on or whatever.
Well, I mean, in the end, it feels like to me all these little steps they take where they bring out Rachel Lindsay to be like, you need to stop bullying, or now we have a therapist and now we have this and whatever. It's all just kind of band-aids for a bigger problem that I think the audience really sees with the show. And I don't believe the producers or the network actually give a fuck about any of the players. They just need to have something that's public facing to be like, look, we said stop bullying them. Look, we have a therapist. And that's all they have to do. That's all they feel like obligated to do, you know?
I mean, I don't even know what else they could do, to be fair, you know, not to like defend them. But I mean, same with like the racial issue during COVID. Like the steps that they're taking, they are steps, but they're just not big enough to make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a toxicity in what we call the fourth audience, the people who watch the show, that definitely is something, you know, it was new to us as we started this podcast and kind of got really deep into this whole thing. It was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There are people who really get pissed off about any little thing that's shown on the screen. And I think they could do something, which is like, not just come out and say, stop bullying people, but come out and say, what you're seeing on the show isn't real. This is pro wrestling.
But that's their whole business, though, is that it has to be real.
It's not, though. I don't think. I think it's really like
pro wrestling. Anyone with a realistic brain would realize that it's not completely real. I mean, we are real people. Those are our real emotions.
Sure, sure.
Real scenarios. But, I mean, it's obviously edited, heavily edited, you know, so people don't, people really, like, these fans are crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a component of it that I think is some kind of moral ownership that some people feel over the show. That's, and they're just waiting for somebody to do something that is outside of their mm-hmm. scope of what is morally correct. And now you're a fucking villain and I'm going to send you a death threat and, you know blah, what? Blah, blah.
So I think that theory happened, like I came across that because Asian people like that they know are like cutesy and quiet and I'm not, you know? Mm. And I think they did not like that, like the audience. So what I did was it magnified to 10 times that I am this terrible person. Because if you look at what I actually did, I don't think I was a villain. I really don't.
I don't think anyone really is a villain that we see on the show. I think that they could use the edit to make anyone look that way if you just have enough footage of someone
right.
and pick and choose. But Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
You know, Clues, in order to use charminance in my life and to get a glow, you know, you got to be confident in your own skin. That's what really glows. And that's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Several studies to back it up. I've been using their products for a while now, and I'm hooked. But don't just take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024. For a limited time, get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code ROSES when you check out at oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps.
You know, in a third-party 12-week clinical study performed by a third-party research organization, OS01 Face was clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, improve skin health markers, and diminish visible signs of aging. Wrinkles were diminished in 87% of users. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with that 15% off that Pace Case mentioned using the code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co with the code ROSES. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you.
Clues. I'm a millennial woman, so you might figure out from that that I'm a wine lover. In my lover girl era, I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks called First Leaf.
As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy because they get to know your unique preferences. First, I answered this quiz about how often I drink it. Do I like red, white, or rosé? That answer is white or rosé. And they curated a bunch of wines for me. I loved the Sir Oscar Darby 2021 Sauvignon Blanc Semillon from South Australia.
Wow.
Where we're going to be shooting Gen Trend season. It's perfect. Best of all, I chose when the box is delivered and how often I get the new assortments of wine.
You know, being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, you're going to get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if you want a wine pairing advice or you want to talk about the wines in your box, you can always speak with one of the experts. Plus, you get member exclusive pricing on every order. Right now, join the club today and discover new wines you're going to love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/roses to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/roses. tryfirstleaf.com/roses.
Yeah, I definitely, when I used to watch the show, would like take the villain and be like, oh yeah, that person's evil. It's one is evil.
We all have our off days, you know,
people aren't going to
be perfect all the time.
But plus it's like, there's something in it to me. I think what really drew me to the show, and we've talked about this on our show a bunch, is that like, it's an open lie. The show really isn't about helping people find love. It's about producers forcing people to have nervous breakdowns for our entertainment. Like, that's what the show is. And I think if the show was a little more transparent or owned up to that a little bit more, it would take some of the heat off the players, because it's like in whatever they're presenting, whatever these moral kind of dilemmas might be, the players are always the ones to take the blame. The producers never get any of that heat. And as a result, it's like, you know, when a person at home is watching and gets mad, they're coming after the player. They're never like, this show is fucking mean, or these producers did that person dirty. They're like, that person's a pile of shit. Yeah. Now let me fire off a death threat. It's crazy to me. And then they don't care, seemingly, the producers. But all that said, as fun as all this is, you decide to come back for a second tour in paradise. You wind up on Sand, VIP, season 7, which is historically one of the craziest seasons of all time. You were obviously involved in a love triangle with Aaron Clancy and his rival, the big body trash can, Thomas Jacobs. But in that time, you're there when Brandon Marais is there. You're there when Piper shows up. You witnessed that whole thing go down.
Yeah.
What was that like? And also, are you and the other players pretty openly talking about Instagram and why you came on the show? Were they isolated in that? Or are you all kind of talking about it and they just chose to use their footage to make them into villains?
I think Paradise is just such a different ballgame than the main shows. Mm-hmm. At this point, we've all accumulated our followers, you know, and I don't think anyone's going into it to have more followers.
No one's going into Paradise to have more followers?
I mean, they are, but no one's talking about it, you know? Okay. So we're really just trying to like survive day by day. It's so hot. Mm-hmm. And I think where Brendan and Piper screw up is that they were talking about it very, very openly.
Right.
You know, and sure, there's like little conversations that we'll talk about, like, how much did this brand give you? Like, blah, blah, blah. Because we did like brand deals before Paradise because we had all of COVID. But it does look really bad on Brendan and Piper's part. But that was real, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one coerced them to do that. Like, those are real things. And I've heard Piper talk about followers and popularity before she even came onto the beach.
Which is a cardinal sin. It's just, it strikes me as so strange because you see people like Grocery Store Joe, for example, who I have some questions about as well. But like, he's accrued over 1 million followers. He went from a night one guy in his season of Bachelorette to 2 tours in Paradise, 1 million followers, selling his sauce on a Bachelor Nation podcast as a host. And he doesn't really talk about it. There's some stuff that will like slip through the cracks on clickbait every once in a while where he talks about engagement or how he likes his followers or whatever. But he played the game. He pretended like that didn't matter to
him.
And
does.
It clearly does, of course.
Yeah. 100%.
Otherwise, delete your Instagram account.
Right.
But I was just curious, like, I believe everybody on Paradise has to be at least aware of the fact that this can up your numbers.
Yeah.
And whether you're talking about it openly or not, it seems like that was their cardinal sin, is that they just spoke about it.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, it's just a crappy thing to talk about in general because we all know that's the inevitable. We're on television.
Yeah.
I think just like when you're talking about it, it's like how you're like, oh, I'm so pretty. It's like, okay, so you think you're really pretty. You know? Like, you just don't do that. You know, you just don't go around talking about that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that Joe especially, like he acts like he doesn't care and will be like, I'm too good. Like, I don't really care. He cares more than I think I've ever met anybody care.
Oh, were you there when he obviously had what I believe he called his group of disgruntled females on sand and they went and they kicked off Piper and Brenna Marais.
I don't know where I was during that, but that was gold.
It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, you wish you were a disgruntled female.
Dang, I wish I was. Yeah, you were on the team. Females.
But did you hear him talking to producers or them talking to him to be like, look, we need you to go in and cut him off at the knees. You got to get them out of here. Because a producer can't just walk on the sand and be like, okay, you guys, you were talking about Instagram. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. They have to have a player do it.
In ITMs, they ask you questions, you know, and like, again, it's our confinement area where we're talking to the producers that we trust.
Yeah.
Built trust from the first show and now this show. So I think that they use what we tell them and that's how they're like, okay, like, are you going to do something about it? You know?
Oh, interesting.
Because they actually cannot tell us anything that another player has told them unless we said it from them, our mouths, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, because they knew about Brenna and Piper, but they couldn't openly be like, what do you think? Like they're together until a player on the sand actually said it out loud.
Wait, how do you know that they can't?
They told me.
Oh, do they have like unspoken rules like that?
Yeah.
Like we can't.
Because. Okay. It's just extremely unauthentic at that point. Like, it is a produced show, but, like, it's harder because, like, where if someone comes at you, where did you get this information? Oh, a producer told me. You can't say that on camera.
Right.
So
they'll cut it out. But we've heard things like the cake incident, for example, in that Bachelor in Paradise season.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite night. That was so fun. That was the most fun I've ever had.
So supposedly the reason that it was thrown into the fire was because Demi stole the idea of the birthday party from Mari Pepin.
No, I think she was just trying to figure out like what she wanted to do. I mean, it's his birthday. What can you do on a beach? Throw a party.
Sure.
There's nothing else you could do. So what I know is that Mari told Demi in our changing room, like we have a little get ready room, and that she was like, oh, I think I want to do this something special for Kenny. Like, and I think that's where Demi got the maybe like a general idea of like what she was doing.
Right.
I don't think Demi came into it like, I'm going to steal this idea. It's like, what else could you do? All you can do is just pull them away and be like, I did this for you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Fair enough. I don't know. I always go to like the most Machiavellian level.
That's a comment or that's an easy assumption to come across.
Yeah.
Because like, where would they come up with this idea? But no, it's all live and like you have to use the information that's given to you from other players.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that most people like don't talk about Instagram and don't talk about followers, that type of thing generally, that it's like.
No. When I was actually in the mansion on Peter's season, one of the red flags with McKenna is that she kept talking about how many followers she had. She had the most followers going into it than any of us, even more than Hannah Ann at that point. Because she was like this, I don't know, what is she, a blogger or something?
I think she had a TikTok going at that point.
There was no TikTok at that time.
She had something going in. I remember that
she had a blog. But,
okay.
And in her blog, it actually states, I will be on The Bachelor, mark my words.
Ooh, nice.
And I someone told me that, and that's when I brought it up to Peter, and he still didn't believe me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I was like, I would wonder whether that gets discussed and if that goes into your calculus of like who might be the front runners, like if they're already very good at social media or whatever.
I don't think so. I don't think social media in the game would have a factor of you being more popular or ranking higher, you know, to the end. I think it's really how well you work with everyone, what you're willing to be in, like drama wise, and a true connection with the lead.
Yeah. Certainly the what we call first audience game, how you can kind of work with the lead, if you will, like that kind of beats all other games. And we saw that in season 16 with Courtney Robertson. She won the whole game on a straight first audience strategy. Right. The producers didn't like her. The other players didn't like her. The fourth audience, everybody hated her because she was a villain. Didn't matter. She won the ring because her first audience game was like impeccable.
Yeah.
But when you're on sand, do you get the feeling that there are like protected players at all?
100%. Look at everyone who has a podcast.
Hey, I agree with you. This is what we say all the time.
No, it was actually the most frustrating part of it because I'm like, there's nothing that I can do that will help me in this situation because I don't have a podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Like, Joe's great and all, but why was he first stand? He was not on any recent season of the past, what, 4 years?
Because I think they wanted to do that thing that they did with Kendall, where it's like they're going to send him in, let him fall in love. In a best case scenario, he falls in love with somebody and they're about to propose. And then they bring in Kendall to be like, wait, I'm still here. And they did exactly that. But yeah, I mean, everybody on Clickbait got preferential treatment. Natasha Parker, they gave her a rose out of thin air.
Right.
They created a reason to keep her in the show.
Right.
Yeah. Did Becca have a computer or something to still do the podcast? Something like that.
And check her emails and look at all the gossip and watch clips of the show.
I think she was, what is it? They watch you when you do that because you can't look it up. But definitely she was more favorited. I mean, if I didn't give her Thomas, there was no way that she would have stayed on the beach. But they would have made it, so she did.
Right.
I mean, it all worked out in the end. I think they're a great couple.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And everything works out in the end, but that was the way in.
Wait, what do you mean gave her Thomas?
Because they asked me, or like he asked me and she asked me if she could take him on a date. Mm-hmm. If I said no, because I asked him, I go, if I said no, would you have gone? He goes, no, I respect you too much.
You could have destroyed that relationship.
I know, but who? What kind of a jerk would I be? They're so happy and cute together now.
Yeah, no, they're great. I agree.
I think that's where my personality fell too, because I never wanted to stand in the middle of a relationship that was bound to happen anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
People were not talking about social media, but another thing that people were vilified for was having these relationships beforehand. Piper and Brendan dating beforehand, Alana Milne and Chris Conran meeting in San Diego. Do you think that they were the only people that had discussed a possible relationship before? Do you think that people are all DMing before they go to Paradise?
The only true person that actually came there with like more than a friendship was Brendan and Piper. Chris and Alana did not have a relationship prior. I was at that trip. I spent the whole week with them.
Right.
Like, Chris did not stay at our place. It was just a girl's house, but Stefan's one of the girls at this point. but yeah, that wasn't, like, Chris just happened to be in town because he was with Chasen and Spencer.
Yeah.
Like, there was they'd not kissed prior, and I 100% have proof that they did not have a relationship before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, when Joe called them out, I go, where are you pulling this from, you know? But you didn't pull the same stuff with Brendan and Piper?
Mm-hmm.
It's because Alana and Chris are, what is it, week tours on their
easier
season?
Targets.
Easier target.
Totally. The hierarchy
I think
is something,
that whole situation was so screwed up because that was something that they did not deserve whatsoever.
I don't think anybody deserved that stuff. I mean, what happened to Brennan and Piper? You know, they hemorrhaged massive amounts of followers. They lost all kinds of SpawnCon brand deals.
That was insane.
Like, that cost them significant money. Brennan, I think, maybe more than Piper. And it's like, for what? Because they were open about, like, as you're saying, everybody goes on there knowing, like, this can help my Instagram, which means it can help my money. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, talking about it openly.
Where it screwed up is that he really fucked over Natasha.
Yeah.
Like, true, like, in a truest, realest form. Like, that was the most screwed up thing I've ever seen on television.
Right.
From people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was on the beach, I had no idea that was happening.
Right.
Like, because she wasn't very vocal about her relationships. I just saw them together all the time. Like, well, that's cute. Like, they're probably just gonna hang out and chill and see what it's like.
Yeah.
I knew that Piper was gonna come down. I'm like, I wonder how this is gonna be. But I had no idea that Brendan was saying these things about Natasha. I did not know, like, the private conversations that him and Piper had. Because, like, where it screwed up is when they went on their date, Brendan and Piper, she was, like, basically, like, thank you for playing the game, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
If they went into it just being like, you know what, I did have a prior relationship I wanted to explore, and I actually do have stronger feelings for Piper now, that would have been a way different story. Yeah. I think they should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the play they should have made.
Because they would have made it all the way to the end.
Yes, I agree.
But where they're falling, they were pulling people underneath them. And it's the ego and the hierarchy. Like, they thought that they were too good because Brendan was a top four. And sure. Piper was a person of color on her season. So she thinks she has this authority, you know? And it's just, that's not the case.
But it was also the producer's hand in this, because they put Brendan on sand first. He was in the first group.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made him tap dance for a while until she showed up. And they knew that relationship existed. They knew that they were going to try to do this. So they're like, well, let's see how bad, like, what kind of a disaster we can make of it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knew that it was going to be a disaster. I think Brendan was one of the first sands because he was just very popular among the girls that were coming in. He's a very good looking dude.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think they just hope for the worst and it happened the worst.
They hope for and orchestrate the worst.
Do you feel that the hierarchy is a very prevalent thing? Like, 100%. How far you made it in the game. If you're top four, you're in a different bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And they make you feel that way too, people who are on the top four.
Of course. On your season, I mean, this you weren't there for the prom date, but...
oh, yeah.
Grocery Store Joe and Serena Pitt were literally crowned and given sashes that said prom king and queen.
For what?
And all the other players have to sit there and watch that. And it's like, even within this season, they're saying, they're the most important. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, even in conversations that I've had before, because they claim that my relationship with Thomas wasn't as, like, important and, like... you know, it shouldn't hurt you as much because it wasn't as real. And I'm like, I had real feelings for him. I think it totally. Really sucked. I got dumped on my freaking birthday. Yeah. You know, like it sucks. But it wasn't as important as Joe and Serena. They're like, you aren't like Joe and Serena. I'm like, why? Because I'm not on top of him for 24 hours a day.
Who's telling you that? Producers?
Yeah. And I'm like, I think the strongest relationship here, to be quite honest with you, was Abigail and Noah.
And they're still together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even after what, at least the things that we've been told, their breakup was fake. It was like orchestrated by producers that were basically saying like, well, if you're not going to move to the next step, you have to break up now. There's no way you can
stay. I feel like
here.
Everyone thought that because that, what is it? The second to last episode before the engagements, mm-hmm. they were dropping off like flies.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's like, what's next? Like you either get engaged or you don't. Like make it up. Make up your decision now or right. leave.
So I am curious about that process. Like, are they trying to have a certain amount of couples in the finals? Do you have any idea about that?
Someone like, said that they didn't have enough rings. I don't think that's the case. I think they have a plethora of Neil Lane rings. I think it's whoever's just going to, who's most likely to make it, you know?
Yeah.
Who's been the longest couple on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Because
it wouldn't make sense for a new couple to come down or like a new girl to come down, be a couple and get engaged. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
I would. If I was like eighth week, I'd be like, all right, I'll get engaged to whoever's left.
Yeah, exactly. Are you looking for someone to marry? I'm right
here.
Are
you looking for a wife?
I have one last question. Do you believe that Ivan Hall hacked into a producer's phone?
No. What I think happened is that a producer left their phone open knowing that, I mean, it was on the page. Could have been an accident, sure. Yeah. But everyone's list was there. And yeah. then he just, I thought what he did was super harmless. I love Alexa.
Of course.
I've talked to Alexa about it. And she felt like she was just being so bamboozled because she thought that was orchestrated that she just left.
Totally.
They try to convince her to stay.
Well, that too, like, I guess I have another question too about Paradise. You show up to Paradise. Do they tell you when they're casting you what order you're going to be?
No.
Like that you'll come out on day one or day two or?
No.
So you're just in a hotel room being like, I hope they pick me soon.
Yeah. And like, it's daunting. Because I remember Chris was telling me, he goes, I was literally about to like jump off the balcony and like just leave because of how long I was in this room.
They keep you trapped in one room.
Yeah. But the thing is, my strategy, I had my journal and I counted all the days and the times and what it made sense for like filming wise. And I looked at the previous seasons of Paradise. I'm like, when did they film? So it was around this time, but COVID probably brought it back a week. I did all the math of it. Like literally so much math.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm here for 10 days. I left at the end of May. I'm definitely going to be the one first ones on the beach. I have to be because I was the first one that flew in.
Right. And they wouldn't have flown you in that early if they didn't intend to shoot you.
Because they have to pay for the days that we're there even in quarantine. So I'm like, it makes no sense for me to be there the first times that people are coming in and me not make it first day.
But you get paid for just the days you're there or the days you're shooting?
The days you're there.
Wow. So even if they keep you locked up in the hotel room for like a month and you never make it to San, you're still
getting
paid.
Correct.
Whatever your rate is. Okay.
That's a stipend. They don't like to call it paid.
Right.
The stipend's not much, by the way. I make more money bartending.
Yeah. Well, some people get paid.
No, they used to.
That's out now?
It's out because the main producer that was able to negotiate all those things left.
Who was that?
Elon
Gale. Mm-hmm. You never got to work with him, right?
No, but I do talk to him and he's a very nice guy. Yeah.
Interesting.
Again, like I'm closer to the producers than I am to any of the cast. So like we still have great friendships that we talk about, like it just real life network, producing stuff. They can't obviously tell me the secrets of the show that they're working on, but the ones that left, I mean, yeah, we've had conversations.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the ones that left, after you left Paradise, in this post-game, as we have now come to learn, Instagram, social media is a different game.
This is an ongoing fight.
It's not part of the game, I don't think.
That's all I can. I mean, you think it is? You argue with this? I don't know. I think it's a different game, separate game.
We're always arguing about who the best player is, and he's always saying it's Nick Viall, and I'm always saying it's Caitlin Bristowe, and I take into account Caitlin's post-game career, which I feel like is part of the game. Like, she has, like, navigated the social media game.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Viall does a pretty good job.
I agree.
But, even in
to be fair, Caitlin landed a...
You're right.
She hosted the show.
Caitlin hosted a show. The show. So I guess maybe she's...
Tammy agrees with me.
Yeah.
On the record.
She's better at hosting than Nick Viall. I mean, I think we can all agree 100%. On that. But let's get to this TikTok that you put out at the beginning of last month. I'm just going to read here some of it. The TikTok that you put out last month. Okay. I'm going to just read some stuff that you say in it, and then we're going to discuss this. You say, I'm done with this franchise. My contract is up in April, and I'm never looking back. If you're not their favorite, it's very clear you are treated like secondhand dog shit, and they don't care about you or your value or your worth. They're a network that is light years behind the times, and this is why the ratings are tanking. This is why the new contestants don't have as many followers as the Netflix shows. It's time to move on, you basically say. So,
oh, that was my Instagram story.
Sorry, your Instagram story. Right. So what was that about? What got you so mad in that moment?
Oh, I feel like I've answered this question so many times because I've had so many interviews. But I will just say that we were working on a project for a very long time, and we ended up coming to a disagreement that really hurt my feelings and just everything that I worked for the last 2 years out the window. I felt so betrayed by them. And that's when I knew, like, there's no way that I could ever be a favorite. I will never get there. And that's when I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I think my time is capped here and I'm done. I think I was very emotional that week. And I mean, that obviously showed through my upsetting Instagram story. But I mean, I'm grateful for their opportunity, but they don't give me credit where it's due, where I also had a factor into my time on the show. Mm-hmm. I put in the work. I'm that character,
totally,
you know? And they were just really good at dangling the carrot in front of me, and I was just sick of it. So
what was the carrot?
I can't say.
How about this? Let's do a no. You can say no or no comment.
No, I can't say. Nope.
Do you know who Kayla Quinn is? Kayla Quinn. Third place finisher from Ben Higgins' season.
Yes.
I'll just tell you a little story about her. She was offered the role of Bachelorette. The contract was signed and they shot promos with her. And then they yanked it to give it to JoJo Fletcher.
And she would have been the first Asian Bachelorette.
Right.
I'm just saying, I wonder what that feels like. And how many people know what that feels like? That must be
very crappy. No, because I mean, I love JoJo she's one of my favorite Bachelorette seasons. But that does suck. And that just goes to show you, like, they're so stuck in their old ways that it doesn't even matter if you're this fantastic person. If you don't look the way that they normally cast, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're all very curious to know what that project was and what you were actually working on.
Everyone and their mom's asking me, but everyone thinks that it's because I didn't get called for Family Feud. I'm just going to go with that story because
that's an obviously easier story. Not it. Are you kidding me? Family Feud, you're like, it was my fucking dream.
It was my dream to
Since
be on Family Feud.
Since I was 2 years old, I want to be on Family Feud, and I orchestrated the past 5 years of my life to go into the Bachelor of Paradise, just so I can get on Family Feud.
It's obviously not that.
I think I have some ideas what it may be, but will we ever know? Will you ever release this information?
Ooh. I am writing a book.
Oh.
I'm trying to debate on what I want to call it. I might call it Breaking Up with Roses.
Okay.
But it's also like my life story too and everything, my experience in general in life, but primarily on the show as well. Maybe I will release it there, but they do look over the book, so they probably won't let me say it.
But what does that mean, won't let you say it? At the cost of what? What would they do to you?
You get sued.
Would they sue you though?
I don't know.
Depending on what it is, I guess, and what that story is. I mean, they've only sued a couple of people, I think, successfully.
Luke Parker.
Did they actually sue Luke Parker?
Yeah. $100,000, I think he has to pay him, if I remember right. I could be slightly wrong in that, but I remember reading that.
But he did go off the wall, though.
I think there's only certain people they could get away with suing.
Yeah.
Clues. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. Mm. There's no rhyme or reason. Anything goes. You got pairs from 3 birthdays, Christmases ago, childhood, whatever. And, you know, when you open it, you don't know what to expect. It's chaos in there. And now that I have felt the buttery soft comfort of me undies, my other pairs have got to go. Trash. Because me undies is all I'm reaching for. I'm hooked and I feel off if I'm wearing anything else. You gotta wear your best pair. And I just got my best pair from MeUndies. The all-over lace thong in navy is gorgeous. It is so comfortable. It is so cool, I would say. I feel cooler when I'm wearing it. Mm-hmm. And so happy to have a new go-to pick from that chaos.
Well, I'm glad that you are able to organize your chaos as well. And so should everyone else. MeUndies has styles for everyone. You got all black classics. You got fun, expressive prints. There's a look for everyone out there. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. And it's not just about underwear. You got all kinds of versatile loungewear. You can get comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, all kinds of stuff at MeUndies. Unmatched comfort that Pace Case was talking about. The signature fabric is soft and warm. It's like a hug from your favorite sweater, and it's breathable and stretchy. You can't beat that deal. Right now, get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I probably will still tweet the show because I like the show. I think my commentary is too good to give up on this world.
Sure.
I'm going to give the people what they want. And my spicy commentary on Twitter is gold. So I probably will tweet the next Bachelorette season. But I think I'm just going to take a big break from now. It just feels like a really toxic relationship.
Absolutely.
Like very manipulative, abusive boyfriend type. So I think that's how I feel with them right now. I just need some time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll come back. I don't know. I mean, Caitlin Bristow took 5 years off, so.
That's true.
Her brand. She revealed her ring winner on Snapchat and.
Yeah, while her season was airing.
Really?
Yeah. She blew her own season.
Oh, my God.
And they did not sue her.
I don't know if this is related and something you can't talk about. Have you ever been asked to do a Bachelor Nation podcast?
They've never asked me. When I went on my rampage, they were like, if XYZ wasn't going to renew their contract, like you were going to be. Asked to do it. I go, so I'm secondhand dog shit.
Right.
You want me to be a backup?
Yeah, you'd make a great backup, Tammy.
Thank you.
That's all I am to them
is a backup, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, why would I do your podcast, take a fraction, make no money? Mm-hmm. Like, I know what they get paid. It's not a lot. I'm like, I might as well make my own podcast and take 100% of the proceeds.
Yeah.
And I'd make a killer podcast.
Do you have that in the works?
100%. Yes.
Are you going to do it with somebody else, another player maybe?
Me and Katie have actually thought about
what
doing it. Me, Katie, and Stefan. Can you imagine the chaos?
That would be fantastic.
I think it'd be so funny.
Oh my God, I want but that.
I don't know. Maybe I just want to do a podcast that's like more entrepreneurial, like, right, you know, business-based too.
Jason Tardik, Trading yeah. Secrets style.
Yeah.
The San Diego crew is rising. I love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
How do you feel about the world around The Bachelor? The Bachelor podcast, it has turned into this whole industry unto itself.
I honestly don't think their podcasts are great. I think they're really boring. I'm not going to lie. The
official Bachelor ones, yeah, or Game of Roses?
No.
I'm just fact checking.
The official ones. Because I'm like, the other ones around it are way better. Like,
yeah,
I would much rather listen to your podcast.
Oh, thank
than
you.
Theirs.
I appreciate that.
But I think because you don't have any like stock into the franchise itself, so you get to give your genuine opinions that are not
totally
scripted or cut.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think that maybe, I don't know, watch me have a recap podcast just giving my Twitter commentary about
the
podcast.
I think it would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And you 100% should do it.
Because I would not give a crap about my opinion. I'm like, I'm going to say it like it is. Totally. You suck, you suck, you suck.
I think we call this character like
that's my new podcast. It's called You Suck.
You Suck? That's a good title.
I suck too. So we can all suck together.
Or I love this. I am everything. Just putting that out there. Just
that's so
love
funny.
That line. I think you are one of the best colorful narrators we've ever had, which is like what we call like a Demi-esque like person, mm-hmm, who gives the ITMs that are like,
yeah, I basically
really
narrated,
yes,
a lot of both shows.
You, mm-hmm, did.
But is that all I am to them? That's where it hurt, because I'm like, is this it? Am I just a joke to you guys?
They know how to tell a very particular love story. That is,
yes,
my opinion
100%.
On that situation.
For sure.
And it's,
but also the
up
colorful narrator isn't like, that's a very valuable role to them. Demi Burnett was one, mm-hmm, and they brought her back again and again and again to just do like comedy bits,
right,
in subsequent seasons, mm-hmm,
Tia Booth too.
But
Booth,
here's the
was
thing
that?
Is like, I have such great commentary, not to toot my own horn. I have great commentary. I have great facial expressions. I give like the drama and the comedy, but I've never been asked to do a podcast. I don't get, mm-hmm, opportunities that these other people get to like just surpass. Like,
right.
Like the whole Bachelor Live on stage thing.
Yeah.
Like I get it. It was only guys, but I'm like, no one ever talks about what I can do in this franchise. And I was such a player for them.
Right.
Literally advocating for them through other cast members who were against them, through audience that were against them. I always fought for their right. Mm-hmm. And this is what I get, nothing.
Yeah.
So I was just sick of it.
And there was a carrot you're saying that they're dangling. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the
it
carrot.
It was a big project.
With the Bachelor.
With the franchise.
Okay. So, I mean, we can obviously speculate about what that probably was, but like, how long did they dangle this? And in what ways are they dangling it to make you feel like I should keep going,
Months.
God. And yeah, was there paperwork signed for whatever this was? Were they down the road that far with it? And then they just yanked it all?
We'll not discuss.
Okay, fair enough.
But I'll tell you afterwards.
Maybe. Okay, great.
Cruz has a carrot now, and
yeah,
he's going to try to
find
it.
Well, no, I mean,
it.
Look, we've talked off the record with plenty of people, too, that, mm-hmm, were, like, offered certain very big things. I won't say what they are, but let's just say the biggest shit that you can be offered in this franchise. Right. And then papers are signed, things are shot, and it's fucking yanked. And not even a, so sorry about that, we'll let you come back and host a group date or anything like, mm-hmm, that. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Just a fucking don't call us, we're not calling you, and good luck with your life. And it's like, it's the rate at which this show just churns fucking people up, spits them out, mm-hmm, and they don't care. It's like, it really, in my mind, harkens back to the early, early days of some professional sports like baseball and football and stuff, where these players who built the game from the ground up, the early eras, got nothing from it. They didn't get fucking paid. In many cases, their bodies are broken as a result of whatever they did in those sports. And I feel like, you know, The Bachelor is not physical breaking of the bodies, but like emotionally you're scarred from this experience because it's so fucking traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to not even get the thing that they're promising you, and for them to be able to use that promise to just like keep you around,
right,
and do whatever the fuck they want with you. It's very sinister.
It is extremely sinister. And I think I had enough of it, you know?
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Damn it. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I think you were going to say the carrot.
Something, yeah.
I mean, it was a big project. The lead is not the only big thing that they have, you know, that's
sure,
obviously a really good thing, but it was a big project. And the thing that they said to me is the reason why I went off, because it was something that I just couldn't change about myself. So yeah, that hurt. But I did everything for them, and I'm nothing to them.
You are everything.
We think you're everything to us. And we can't wait to listen to your podcast, to get your book. Like, yeah, I'm sorry that you went through that. It really sucks.
I mean, I prayed about it for so long. And like, to me, this is a huge lesson. God told me, you are so willing. You're so able and capable. You put the work in. This is just not for you, you know? And who knows, if I did end up doing this project with them, like, would it have changed my life, or would I have been in duress like Clayton, you know?
Yeah.
Oh God, what
Clayton,
they did to him.
The first episode, they come out and they have him read mean shit about him, and
oh my God,
and
that
it
was
just
brutal.
Got worse from there.
They wrecked him from frame one. So they just wrecked this man. It was like they picked him specifically to kick him in the balls every goddamn morning.
Read this, Clayton. I'm a piece of shit.
It's like, read the mean tweets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not a celebrity.
But they didn't give him any, like, they didn't say what kind of a person he was, what his job was, what his family was like. None of that.
They have so much
like,
power,
all
and they
this
just don't
want
to use it to help people.
No. The show is destroying people for our entertainment. Mm-hmm. They have to have somebody you can hate. And in season 26, they chose that person as the bachelor, which I don't think we've ever seen, where they just took a bachelor from the beginning and said, this is the person in this season that
you
should
hate. What does he look like?
Clayton?
Yeah.
A pizza-loving, football-playing guy from the Midwest.
Jesse Palmer?
Exactly. Just what they're used to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The reason that they gave Matt James this out of the blue is because they were being attacked for being racially...
Totally.
Selective.
Yeah.
So they wanted to put a Band-Aid on something that was 25 years of damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without recognizing that damage.
Do you think there... some recent news just came out. Dancing with the Stars is going to move to streaming.
Oh.
That is a big ABC tentpole show. I think The Bachelor will probably follow suit within the next couple of years, because
really?
The ratings are just like in the fucking toilet. Yeah. When they do that, I'm very curious if the whole thing changes, because I do think they're at this point still kind of beholden to their network TV audience, the people in the Midwest and the South who are watching this on broadcast television. That's where they get their money. And I think once it goes to streaming, that's a different audience, and they might change, because I do think to them, like, they don't care about anything except money. And as long as
Which
the product
is, fair.
Is selling,
it's a business,
sure,
you know,
of course, but
it sucks for everyone else that has to take faults for it. You know, like,
yeah,
it's you a know business, what but they can like make choices that are 100% aren't gonna, like, hurt the
They
business.
Can make a lot of choices. They just won't, you know, because it's not worth it. So the thing is, I have great relationships with ABC, the network itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, now I don't know how they feel after this whole thing of me dissociating myself with the franchise.
Right.
But ABC has a bunch of other shows, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
You know what's
Would
funny?
You go on another show?
Yes. I actually am working on a new show.
Oh.
Yeah. So not anything confirmed yet, but we'll see.
Is this a reality show or a scripted show?
Reality.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the new Netflix dating shows? Like,
I think they're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is chaos there more accepted than it is on Bachelor? Look at Too Hot to Handle. That is chaos.
Yeah.
And I love it. We all love it.
I think it's because The Bachelor hides behind this lie of like, we're just helping people find love. Too Hot to Handle immediately is like, we're putting these people in a situation to fuck with them.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch it. And even the people know that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very out in the open that it's not this for the right reasons. Like, this is all about love and the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah. Love None Island, of those shows they're always like, oh, we're hot and dumb. And that's what this show is.
Yeah. It has more fun with
here's
it.
Here's slow-mo, them in bikinis.
And
but there's some weird moralistic element, I feel, with Bachelor Nation.
Absolutely.
Because like, they think it's like completely real.
Yes. But also like the ceremony of it, the structure of the game, if you deviate from that, like when Caitlin Bristow had sex with Nick Viall before the fantasy suite, she was demonized for that. And it's like, well, what does it fucking matter?
Yeah.
When she has sex with the guy, like it's completely irrelevant. But because it's out of this like hardcore structure of the game that we've all been watching for 20 years, it's like, you've done something bad. This is a horrible moral decision you've made. It's like, what?
I mean, we kind of saw it even with Thomas is quote-unquote villain edit, he was just very open about the possibility of becoming the lead, which is a normal thing. That's what happens. That's the structure of the show.
Of course.
Whoever doesn't make it, they choose from that batch of people, and they're going to be the next lead.
Yeah.
I think if it was a girl that said it, I think it'd be way different. I think she would not be forgiven. But with Thomas, it was so forgiven. But it's like, that's the whole right reasons, you know, thing.
Yeah.
But he just openly said it.
Right.
His villain edit was based on him saying, I had a thought that I could be the next Bachelor. It's like, how could you not have that thought?
Right.
Especially when Peter told us for his season that they sat them down and said, one of you might be the next Bachelor.
They said that?
A producer supposedly came out and talked to the guys before that season. Yeah. And was like, look, some of you are going to get famous from this. And one of you might even be the Bachelor. So they plant that in your mind literally before you start shooting the season. And then they're like, but you better not fucking say one word of it. Or you become a villain.
Yeah, this is crazy to me.
So I think that about wraps up our questions.
We cannot thank you enough.
Are you going on the festival circuit?
What?
What we call the festival circuit. Going to Coachella, going to Stagecoach.
I'm going to go to Coachella. Oh. I'm just going to go to the events. I probably will end up at Coachella itself. I will be in New York for Stagecoach, so I will not be there. But
too bad. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Yeah. You coming?
No.
Okay.
I don't do these things.
All right.
I sit behind a microphone and type on my computer. That's my entire life, and I enjoy it that way.
Stay in the shadows.
I'm going to Coachella. It's my first one. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us and answering all of our questions and stuff.
Truly.
Good luck with your carrot, whatever that may be.
I'm going to create, you know what? I'm going to create, I'm going to build my own damn garden, and I'll have all the carrots that I want.
There you go. Fantastic.
And whenever you're launching the garden, like, let us know and we'll have you back to talk about it.
Thank you guys so much.
This is awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
Clues, that was an incredible interview. I was so excited to finally get to talk to Tammy because I think she's one of the most dynamic characters we've ever had in our beloved game.
Definitely, she's had some of the most dynamic interactions that we've ever seen in our beloved game. It was fascinating to get to talk to her about her iconic phrase, I am everything. To actually sit across from the person who uttered it and utter it back to her was a dream come true to me. And we really can't thank Tammy enough. And we can't thank you enough for joining us for this interview. We hope that you like it. This is Gore Girl Summer. It's continuing all summer long. We got another great interview coming out next week. And
next week's is a doozy. It is another iconic interview. I guess we're just completely full of iconic interviews.
We're racking them up
this summer.
And we're going to have a digging deeper out for you next Monday as well. So tune in for that on our Patreon. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the Bachelor Nation podcast sphere right now. We're going to cover as much of it as we can and break it down for you and tell you what it means. So thanks again. And before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is that drawback?
It has been 7,323 days without an Asian Bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then.